see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to tonight, Watching for Jesus Bible Study. For those joining us, my name is Thomas Gambill. And welcome on this holiday, if we want to call it that. I talked about it at the broadcast this afternoon, 4 to 6. Pretty much what's really going on in the background. I'm going over that today, but obviously it's Bible study. But it is connected to a certain extent. Jeremiah 11, 9 to 10, it says, "And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They're turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel, the house of Judah, have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers." Hosea 4, verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be of no priest for me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Meaning in respect to know the Bible. Because if you know the Bible, you study the Bible, work with the Holy Spirit, you'll open your eyes to these other things and what to stay away from. If you don't know what to stay away from, you will not be able to consecrate yourself or sanctify and purify. There's no theories here. All these are facts proving conspiracy that I've been talking about that Satan's minions are using. David Spangler, Director of Planetary Initiative, United Nations. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation, unquote. He's telling you, a mark of the beast here. Because every conspiracy is simply a step in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion towards God as executed by his human agents. That's really what's going on. In kind of a nutshell, actually, I've written that down, put things together. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, Bible study, and I want to talk tonight about what's holding people back, being demonized, consecration, how to walk the Christian life, how to live the Christian life, and victory over Satan. We'll see how far we get. We go till 9 o'clock, thereabouts. I know this is a holiday of sort, but very few people will talk about the reality of this 4th of July. And I'm not going to beat it to death, but family, someone said, Tom, you're going to watch fireworks. I said, why? Well, watch fireworks. I said, no, I can't do that. I just don't get anything out of it. Because I've learned the truth about the Independence Day, that we never won it. I mean, it's pretty clear. So I can't celebrate something that didn't happen. It's so surreal. It's just very surreal to know the truth and know that the history books are messed up. I mean, do you play along with it? What do you do? Do you play along and just go along with everybody and wave the flag and all that stuff when you know that we never won the war? We lost horribly and became actually outlaws of a nation, outlaws of a corporation, outlaws. That's what we are today. Put on ice, you might say. Used to fight wars by design that was created before, with the outcome already determined. And guided along. And not because we won battles at all. None of the war is because we won battles. That's, wow. And this can be proven over and over. So where do you put your focus? Bible study. You see. That's where it's at. Oh, I like the barbecue. You know, I guess you go to barbecue and you see people around and this, that, and the other. And they get in a festive type attitudes and all that. But I'm like, I talked to several people last night that accidentally run across some folks that knew about what we're talking about. And were surprised to find somebody else that knew the same thing. And I was surprised to find somebody else that knew the same thing. So you have kind of a camaraderie with someone that knows about the reality of this 4th of July. Okay. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and I want to get moving here. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your miracles. And Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, lead us tonight in this Bible study. With wisdom, give us wisdom, discernment, to pull out of this Bible study this new information, new things, new knowledge, and new ways that we learn to defeat Satan. We learn to deal with the situation we have at hand and how to touch others and lead them to Jesus, which is, Lord, we know, the main commission We pray for family members to be healed, to lead them in the walk in faith. We pray for our veterans coming back. Father, you'll guide and protect them. Accept divine appointments to guide them in the right path. We pray for children. They're being abducted for these Wicca, these sacrifices, these rituals. That, Father, you can put them down. Take these sacrifices away from them and expose them for who they are in these Wicca cult groups. Father, we pray for the nation, that the leaders will once and for all step away from this agenda that they're in and tell the truth. And Father, to strip away this facade to the fallen angels, that to expose them for who they are. Father, in these things we pray, in these times we see coming up, that you'll open our eyes to the end times events, the real truth, as we move into the events that you've set up, Lord, that we can see them as they can transpire. Give us that knowledge, discernment to talk to others about this. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we're talking last night about sanctification and walking that life. Consecration, the basis of consecration, and the motive, the result of the consecration. And consecration is the giving of your life to God to do His will instead of our own. It means to present your body to Him as a living sacrifice. Last night we talked about that. And consecration is voluntary. As you see, it's voluntary to give your life over to Lucifer. Your allegiance also must be voluntary. It's all about free will. When you consecrate yourself to the Lord, it means that you're giving your life not, well, it doesn't mean that you're going to go all of a sudden sell everything you've got, become a preacher, and become a missionary and begin missionizing or evangelizing. You consecrate yourself to the Lord to do His will wherever you are, in school, home, wherever He may send you. See, God is the one who decides what He wants you to do, where He wants you to serve Him. Whatever He chooses for you, He'll let you know through the Holy Spirit. And it's offering the whole life to God. A lot of people aren't doing that yet, but they seem to start to do it when something bad happens. Now, before Jesus came to the earth in the usual way, by birth, God permitted four kinds of creatures to be used as sacrifices in the burnt offering. This burnt offering. People who were wealthy, they bought a costly animal as a bullock. Those with less wealth brought a sheep. And those who could not afford either of these brought a dove or a pigeon. Less money, the smaller it is. That'd be normal. But in each case, it was the offering up of a whole life to God. Could not accept anything less than this. You go back to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were taught the proper sacrifice. God always tells you what he wants you to do before you do it. So you know that Cain was given the instruction to offer up an animal. Life is in the blood. Animal sacrifice, burnt offering. But he chose not to, his own way. Some people think or want to believe that Cain and Abel had their own choice of what they wanted to do, and Cain just made the wrong choice or whatever. But no, they were told what to do. Cain was trying to make up his own theology. You see what happened? His own religion, his own way. Abel was obedient. Well, you say, wait a minute, Abel had the sheep or the animal, but Cain did not. Well, the objective would be to obtain the animal, to do the proper sacrifice. So then that means that, well, Cain would have offered what he had grown, what he had done, to Abel for one of his sheep. May I have one sheep, and I'll give you this, that, and the other. Render to Caesar, which is Caesar, unto God, which is God's. In this case, render to man what man is doing. But render to God what? A burnt sacrifice of an animal. This burnt sacrifices were in preparation for the coming Messiah for the next thousands of years. So what does it tell us about consecration? It tells us that consecration is the offering of a whole life to God. You cannot give God part of your life and keep part of it for yourselves. This wouldn't satisfy God. It doesn't mean you just go to church on Sundays and look at what I do. I go to church on Sundays. Every Sunday I go to church. And just for good measure, I go on Wednesday nights. So there, God, what more do you want? Oh, and I help at least one little old lady cross the street a week. Two if I find two. It don't work that way. All the joy and blessing in the Christian life depend upon our holding back nothing from God. Consecration is final. See, once an animal was placed on the altar as a burnt offering to God, it was not taken down again. It was holy unto God. The Bible says Leviticus 27:28. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. As a sample, example, he tested Abraham so we could read about it. But Abraham, he knew already knew what Abraham was going to do because Abraham was not only the first Jew, Hebrew Israelite, so much so he told Abraham to move away from the family. He was different from then on. But he put upon the test of Abraham to sacrifice his only son. How far would you go? Well, you know the story about Isaac and Abraham. Once you've dedicated your life to God, you cannot take it back again. God expects your dedication to be once for all living, once for all giving of myself to Him. But what happens if you fall into sin? There's your million-dollar question. Does that mean you have to rededicate your life to God? Go be baptized again? No. Doesn't mean that. If you've sinned, you should confess your sins to God so you can once more enjoy His fellowship. It's not necessary to rededicate your life to God. Something's already been given to Him. But to renounce those sins, ask for forgiveness of them. So consecration is final. Consecration is to the Lord. Consecration is voluntary. Consecration is continual. The burnt offering was offered to God each morning and each evening, day by day, continually. What does that tell you about consecration? It tells us that our consecration must be continual. Begins with the act of giving yourself to the Lord, but it doesn't end there. You must live out your consecration. Day by day, you offer yourself to the Lord to do His will instead of your own. And that's what Jesus meant when He said in Luke 9:23, what it says in Luke, oops, Luke 9:23, it says, and He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. So, it's continual. So why should you consecrate yourself to the Lord? Because you belong to Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. We're God's property. If we accept Satan, we're property of Satan. Because you get lost in it. Romans 14, verse 8. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. He created us. Now, the verses here tell us plainly that we're not of our own. We belong to the Lord. Been bought with a price. Now, what was the price the Lord Jesus paid for you? Well, His own precious blood, the Bible says. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. First Peter 1, 18, 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by transition from your fathers, by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord Jesus has redeemed you. He's my Lord and Master. I belong to Him. Since I belong to the Lord, it's only right you give yourself to Him. But the question is not, do I believe to the Lord? Do I belong to the Lord? But have I given to the Lord that which already belongs to Him? See, consecration is recognizing Christ's ownership of us and saying to Him, Lord, I'm yours by right, and I wish to be yours by choice. So the Bible makes it clear that this is a reasonable service of every born-again person. That's what it's going to come down to. Now, the motive of consecration, you know you should give yourself to the Lord. We know this already. What makes you want to do this? What would do it? It's the love of Christ. That's what the Bible, excuse me, that's what the preachers today are not instilling. They're not instilling that in people. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Click clearly says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. When Christ's love then touches our heart, you can do nothing but fall down before him and offer your all to him. There's a songwriter that wrote, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt in all the pride. Were the whole realm of nature mind, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So then, what is the purpose of consecration? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, 20, verse 21, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, makes you perfect every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Gospels right here tell us how the Lord Jesus did his Father's will when he lived here on earth perfectly. And the book of Acts tells us how he continued to do the will of the Father through the apostles and disciples of that day and through the Holy Spirit. He wants us to work through us. He wants to work through us to do God's will, not just step back and do it on his own, have us to watch, but work through us. So, for him to do this, he needs us to offer our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. And this is also how Satan tries to get us to do as well. He tries to copy God in every way. The Lord Jesus has no hands to do God's work on earth except our hands. He has no feet to take God's message to the lost except our feet. He has no lips to tell men of God's salvation except our lips. I think there's a song about this, is there not? Hey, work through us. Romans 12:1 pops up again in mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So when you give yourselves to Jesus Christ completely, he'll work through you even though the Father, even as a Father, worked through him. Now, so then it brings the question, how do you do it? The Bible tells you that we are to present ourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. You see, God does not want us to offer our old self life to him. Some people, they say the sinner's prayer, get baptized, but it's not sincere. They just went through the motions. They're right back the way they were. They wonder what happened. Or they're deluded and they're thinking they're actually born again and saved, and they're not. It's the new life in Christ which God wants you to present to him. Bible says in Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members or as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So God can't use anything of the old life. It's dead and gone, or should be. But only those who are alive from the dead can serve him. It's only as you see that you've been crucified with Christ, buried with him, raised up again, that you can truly consecrate your life to God. That's where belief comes in, wholeheartedly. So present yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. So what's the result of consecration? Is that you die to your own plans and ambitions, and you live to do the will of God. Satan's goal is to keep you off that track, so that you don't live that life. This is what's really going on around us today. Everything we've been talking about in this conspiracy thing is there to mislead you, redirect you, get in the way, keep you distracted, tied up and confused. And boy, is it working. And where they start, education in the schools, secret societies. You see how it works? This is really what's going on. The Lord Jesus is our example, perfect example. He didn't come into the world to do his own will or to be great in the eyes of men, or he wouldn't have rode in Jerusalem on a donkey. But he did anyway. He wouldn't have been sacrificed. He'd have rolled the stone away with his hand at Lazarus. He'd made the stone explode, like Hollywood would have done. But he told them, how about you moving the stone? He didn't need anybody to move the stone for him. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One the same. But don't think that if you do consecrate your life to the Lord, that you'll become world-famous preacher or some kind of evangelist. God will control that. Your Savior was despised and rejected of all men at that time. Some didn't, but a lot did. We're his servants. The Bible says, the servant is not greater than the Lord. So we will not be great in the eyes of men, but there is a great blessing in consecration. That's what we go into right now. The blessing of consecration. And what that is the finding of God's perfect will for your life. His will, not yours. God has a work for everybody, every child. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, when you consecrate your life to the Lord, he'll show you that work which is for you, but not until then. So your greatest satisfaction should come when you find God's will for your life and will do it. He'll guide you along. Not your will, and he help you in your will, but you help him in his will. So can you imagine how you're going to feel the day that when you meet the Lord in glory and hearing him say to you in Matthew 25:21, that day is coming. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done, that good and faithful servant. That's been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into joy of thy Lord. So in conclusion, he asks you to present your body to him as a living sacrifice. There's no substitution for this. He required his only begotten son to give his whole life. so that we wouldn't have to. Prayer, Bible reading, Christian work, witnessing, going to church. See, prayer, reading your Bible, Christian work, witnessing to others, going to church. All these things are good, but they will not take the place of consecration. So what's God asking of us? Have we seen that we belong to Him? All that we are and all that anyone is for all time? So have you considered what He's done for you in your past, even the small things? Has He touched your heart so that you want to give yourself to Him? So what is your consecration? As a born-again person, I realize I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I believe the Lord Jesus is dwelling in me by His Spirit, because God's Word says so. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Romans 8:9-10. To believe that He's seeking to work out His purpose through you. If you're saying it, be through me. John 15:16. And Ephesians 2:10. Then to realize your life must be yielded to Him in order that He may accomplish His purpose. Otherwise He won't. He'll have somebody else raised. Romans 6:13. And to hear His call to you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. And you decide to heed the call. So what keeps you from it? Would being demonized have something to do with it? It's got a lot to do with it. So you ask yourself, what's stopping you? Satan is. Satan is or delaying you. Then you ask, well, okay, that's generally okay, whatever. What do you mean exactly? What is it I should avoid? What's holding me back? So you ask yourself, in your studies, can a Christian be possessed by demons? Because the demons are what's keeping you back. It's not just haphazard, you making mistakes, and they just turn out bad. Family, you're being demonized. Now, possessed? No. If you're a Christian, then you're possessed ownership by God, but you're demonized by spirits. Holy Spirit's within you, but on the outside you can be demonized by spirits with a little S. It's certainly a technicality, but one that confuses many believers. So you believe as a believer can attend church on a regular basis and still be demonized. What does that mean? What does it mean that there are areas in your personality that you're not in full control of? So you may attend service but are affected by demons. The demon can still be inside a church, but the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you can force a demon out to be true. That's also inclusive of sickness, if it be God's will. I know it sounds like a cop-out, but God's thoughts are not our thoughts. You may have many members of the church who are sick with various illnesses, and that could be nothing but affliction of demonization, an attack on that church. To be delivered from the sickness, you must be delivered from the demon. And I don't know of any churches right now. You may know of some, but I don't know of any, even in North Carolina here or anywhere else around this areas, that are teaching spiritual warfare at all. They just give these lukewarm, watered-down speeches, do Easter, Dr. Feel-Good messages, and they ain't getting down to brass tacks at all. This is fighting the demons. That is a cause. It's kind of like trying to fight a fire with an extinguisher and you're fanning the flames. You're not going to the base of the fire. And it's certainly not, or shouldn't be, that preachers don't know about demons. It's the first subject Jesus Christ broaches whenever he speaks of his works within the church. He tells us to cast out demons. And knowing his ministry, he taught disciples to do it first. So why don't the churches do it? Why do they take a parishioner out of the church who acts out and has a demon? Why would a church not help you if you think your home is affected with demons? Oh, I know, the Vatican has been awarding some several hundred or something exorcists or something like that. Now, Berta Rivera talks about this, that the priests or the exorcists in the Roman Catholic Church are this there for show, that there is, actually, a cooperation between the demonic realm and that exorcist. Because when they leave, it makes it look like the human exorcist did it, thereby giving allegiance to that exorcist and his theology. That's why they do with that. The churches were told by Jesus Christ that we are to go out and help and tell others. So why don't they? The answers are in the early days the church thought that they could improve upon Jesus' technique. They thought so. Yeah. But first of all, the Roman Catholic Church decided to cast out demons that you needed a specialist, whom they called an exorcist. Same goes for your home. So this tradition began then, has been passed down through all churches to this day. So what the churches aren't teaching and what Satan's glad they're not teaching are two things. One, that he and demons actually exist. Number two, we have authority through Jesus Christ over demons. Now, you got what I said there? That Satan does not want revealed that he and Satan's exist. What strikes my mind off the bat is what Dr. Chester Pierce said when I read it today. He said to Harvard, 2,000 teachers in 1973 in Denver, Colorado, he said, quote, every child in America is entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, and toward a belief in a supernatural being. And that was said to 2,000 teachers. So with that kind of quote, it tells you, if you were a teacher, that, gee, I must help turn these corrupted kids around. It's my duty to teach them this nonsense. I guess they don't call it nonsense, but humanist type theology. That was Dr. Pierce of Harvard that said that to 2,000 teachers. To facilitate one of the two things that Satan does not want revealed, that he and demons actually exist. You see how deep this goes? Wow. This reveals the clash between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Revealing these secrets, it reveals the supremacy of God's kingdom over Satan. I'm not going to go in detail with this, but what's really going on with transhumanism and science research, cloning and all that stuff, and what's not being picked up by any of the major stream evangelists and preachers and rabbis and popes and whatever else, is that the sciences, the biology experts in the world are developing Nephilim super soldiers, not to fight wars to take control. They don't need to. But to fight angels when Jesus Christ returns. This is a real battle. Family, in the Old Testament, there was one angel that killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Man, that's a whole lot of killing. I mean, I can't even, your mind can't fathom that if you really think about it. In one night. That's like 10 divisions or something. I don't know, or more than that. It's just ridiculous. Man, that boy never got tired. I mean, that's something that they couldn't fool around with in Hollywood and make it realistic. So, those 200 million are to fight those armies of God, they think, at Armageddon, the seventh bowl. So, what was the miracle that Jesus performed? He cast out demons. He cast out a demon. Several, actually. To accept the fact that people within a church can be demonized is also the understanding that Satan works within the church and has been for thousands of years. What did Jesus say to Peter? When Peter said, "We'll protect you. We'll stop these soldiers from taking you." And Jesus turned around, looked him square in the eye, and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Can you imagine Peter like, "What? Me? What are you talking about? Me? It's Peter. Jesus. It's Peter." See, Jesus wasn't talking to Peter. He's talking to that demon inside of Peter. Did you know that all miracles were previewed in the Old Testament of the Bible except one? What was that one? It was a deliverance, casting out demons. This is a distinctive mark of the progression between the two Old and New Testament. A decisive difference being the coming of the Lord. Covered one, not covering the others. And you have familiar spirits. It follows a family. Sometimes through Freemasonry. Two or three generations back of Wicca, witchcraft, other kinds of secret societies or whatever. A familiar spirit is a spirit that follows a family. But did you know that there are demons which will follow generations within the family? It's true. Most people who are dealing with a member that within the church is being affected by financial health or other issues is because one demon carries with it many others, and these demons can affect the church, oppress it to the point where members of one family can be attacked, and even several members with their families too. So it slows down your growth and development. These churches don't prepare people for this. See, demons are persons too. supernatural. So you got to recognize that demons are persons. They're a spirit, but they have a personality. And this is a reason for so many types. And there's three objectives of a demon: torment and torture, to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ, and to keep you from serving Jesus Christ. Family, you're going to have in your family, in your work, interruptions. All through your efforts to do it, it's going to happen, family. It's something that can't be helped. The Word of God has got to be stopped by outside forces. They'll try every which way possible to do it. They'll try every which way. And you cannot stop. We have our fleshly issues and spiritual issues, and you got to discern the two before you'll ever know if there's an affliction or demonization within your house or your home, your family, your friends or whatever, or yourself. The remedies of the two are completely different. So if you're in a state of depression and you're dealing in it with a state of flesh issue, taking you away from consecration because it's distracting, then you're trying to crucify a demon, not cast out the flesh. So are you dealing with the flesh or a demon? Now, when you take Hebrew and Greek, it has the same name for spirit, but it also means Ruach, R-U-A-C-H. So have you ever seen the wind? You felt it. But you see the evidence of its effect. Well, the same for demons. Normally, people can't see demons, but due to their hierarchy, some manifest themselves into the realm, in this realm. Some of the characteristics, quite compelling. Enticement. So, for example, you enter a store and you see a gold pin on the floor. Someone probably dropped it. A voice tells you, pick it up. Anything that comes to you in words comes from a person. Demons are persons. Did you know that using technology, they're able to put thoughts in people's heads by using microwave technology and whispering, speaking through microphones with microwave technology that's beamed into the head of the targeted individual or a group, and they hear voices. Family, it's a kind of the same technology, certainly different a little bit, but of listening to a Walkman radio. The Walkman radio works on sound waves. Sound waves are trapped in the eardrums, and the sound vibrating goes to parts of the brain, to the nerves, translates into electrical impulses that's picked up in the brain and says, oh, I hear something. And then your brain recognizes what it is. Well, they bypass the sound and the eardrum and go directly to the center of the brain by use of the microchips or DNA that they've acquired for the individual or group with microwave technology. So they can implant thoughts in your head. What they're doing is they have synthetic demonic activity. Synthesizing demonic activity using microwave technology ELF transmission. Microchips, digital tattoo, mark of the beast. In addition to actual demons, this technology mimics the demons by ELF transmission. This is heavy stuff, man. And some of y'all have talked about this before. How they've done this. It's amazing. I mean, you don't want to get caught up in it, in the studying of it, but it's hard not to sometimes if you're not careful. The average person out there, man, they're lost. Like Gulliver's Travels, they're out there. They don't understand what's happening. They blame it on people, and certainly people are responsible, but it's called spiritual warfare. That's why they're not succeeding. You see. And people are failing miserably because of this, because they don't know about spiritual warfare. Because they're not being taught. They don't understand the technology because they're in the denial. Now you see what I mean? Dr. Robert G. Heath of Tulane University in Oklahoma, he actually implanted as many as 125 electrodes in a human being's brain. In his experiments, he discovered that he could control his patient's memories, sexual arousal, fear, pleasure, and cause hallucinations. And radio waves that pass through the brain are not necessarily registered by one who has a brain transmitter. Only when the effect is greatly increased, for example, when experiments are performed, it's possible for the victim to detect them on some occasion. This is what's going on today. So if you don't know about these things, it's happening to you, you can imagine what the mind's going to think. Now you add demonic activity to this, and you got your deadly cocktail. It's going to be hard to consecrate yourself to the Lord with these things going on. How about harassment? A businessman in his office has a bad day. On the way home, he's stuck in traffic. So he finally gets home. The food's not ready, and the children are running around like wild Indians around the house. At that moment, he blows his top, loses control, screams, yells, shouts. By cause of this emotion being exerted, and the demon of anger has been following him around all day, slips in there and gets inside his body because he's opened up that portal. He's adapted to that frequency vibration. You see how it works? It's scientific. It's spiritual. Spiritual is scientific, quantum physics. When this takes place, he's a different person. His actions hurt the people he loves and he's around him. And those around him see something in him that was not there, who they loved before. How did he not know it? Sly little devils they are. In the moment of weakness, it slipped in. Add to that, taking the oath of the Freemasonry, you've opened up a portal. And with it comes a legion of demons that follows him home. And they're released at the home in the same way, supernaturally. And they start affecting members of the family. and it's visible. You can see it. Trouble at school, changing their clothing, wearing these demonic, or wearing signs and symbols that the parents have no idea what they are, and they should. Music changes in their desires. They get caught up in the video games where their observable skills are brought down to the size of a monitor. Their purview is down to the size of a monitor. And this is why. They give points out there on video games. In one game, I understand, where the airport, you have Spitznaz that breaks into an airport in L.A. And you get to get points of all the patrons you kill. Extra points if you kill passengers. Yeah, come on now. Parents don't have a clue. In torment, the demons torment spiritually with words in your head like, God really doesn't love you. No one's really saved. They torment mentally, physically with disease or a common ailment such as arthritis. These things can be caused by demonic entities. You tell some people this, they're going to think you're crazy, but it actually works. It actually happens. You know, this afternoon, I don't have it in front of me right now, I had on our Facebook, someone came on my Facebook, and boy, let me tell you what, there's no question that this is demonic activity. I mean, it's like mind-boggling. Person wrote on a Facebook privately to several people on my Facebook and to our... He wrote... I quote what they wrote in our Facebook this afternoon. Do you really think your God can save you? You and the many like you, the fools, you have already lost because he's lost assuredly. I tell you that when we were cast down, Michael was almost defeated. Do you know why your Lord isn't returning? It's because he realizes it's futile. I tell you that a time is coming soon when all shall be made dark. In the final war, we shall return to those who ruined us and retaliate. They shall not win. Michael and his army will tremble with fear. And when we overcome them, the light shall be scourged. The skies will be blackened, and the angels' cries will be heard throughout the night. And it shall run blood for days. And then the overlord shall split the sky, aiming for the sky, then the final strike of the Holy One, and along with him the saints shall die. The child is ours. He is always taken and cannot be saved. You can't save him. I ain't going to say the word. Nor can the Holy One. I'm not going to say that word either. We got this afternoon from a person. I mean, you can't get more exact than that. And I told some folks, I said, it's getting serious. We're apparently really upsetting some folks. That's quite the understatement. I kid you not. That's what happened. That person writes, do not be like this fool. But he's a broken man. You wasted your time on him. He's confused. He's lost, he knows not his place in this world. I speak these things that you may join us in retaliation against he that's above, and surely your pain will be minimal in the afterlife. Your suffering will remain as it's a creation, and blah, blah, blah. embrace these words. Novus Ordo Seclutum, New World Order. Now this is heavy. Man, this is serious business. That anybody would even write this stuff on our... And it gets worse. The last thing it says is, my name is Balaam. That's a demon. Now for a person with a name, Jacob, for a person to write this, just by itself, if it's just him, that's pretty nutty. But this person is possessed. There's no doubt about that. There's possession going on here. You see, that's direct attack. And I'm not joking on this at all. I'm not being sensational about it. Or this is exactly what I've got. We got copies of it. This person said it. And I didn't put them up to it. I didn't want to make it. I mean, this is real. This is not fooling around. So, you know, only thing I can gather from is that we've really ticked off the demonic realm. That's all I can gather. And even for this person to make, couldn't make this up. You can't make that up. Family, it's getting serious out there. So that means that we have to step up the effort. Not fall back, but now increase it. That's how I see it. So if we got things coming at us like that, that means something we're doing is effective. That means we need to do more of it. And the torment. These demon persons, these demons torment spiritually with words in your head like, whoa, okay, so that matches. These demons torment spiritually with words in your head like, God really doesn't love you. No one's really saved. They torment mentally, physically with disease or a common ailment such as arthritis. There you go. They compel. Demons compel you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Cussing's a common demon. See, these demons are specialists. They know what your weaknesses are, and they operate on them, keeping you from consecrating, keep you from sanctifying, keeping you from being purified by distraction, interruption. And a lot of people don't even know they're being used. Being demonized can happen to a Christian. Possession, no. Demonized, yes. Individually, on your own walk, when you're out in town, you can be pulled away. Your mind can be pulled away yourself. People who rarely spit out such things are caught saying horrible words. Enslavement. People can sin or stop sinning. If they decide, for instance, a man gets drunk, then decides he's done with liquor and drinks no more. He sinned, but he's not enslaved. But an alcoholic is a man who can't stop drinking. He's enslaved. Now, if you combine compelling and enslavement together, you have an addiction. 99% of all addictions are demonic. If when God loves you, He'll cause something to happen to pull you away from that addiction so you'll win. To defile, projecting images, thoughts, and things into our minds. Can I not then say that by technology they can defile as well? By projecting images, thoughts, and things in your mind, by using technology? You all see the implications here? You're getting hit from the supernatural realm. You're getting hit from the technological realm. And the two are coming together. Man, you better get right with God. Especially when they increase this. To deceive behind all forms of false religions. See, doctrines of deceiving spirits, which are pulling God's children away. Many deceiving spirits are out there. And sicken people. These demons cut to the chase. They try to kill you with different forms of illnesses. And even suicide. You know, there's even a demon of sleep. You can stay up 2 a.m. watching something you probably shouldn't be watching, but the minute you pick up a Bible, you fall asleep in minutes. How about the people fall asleep in church? I can be pulled away at the very beginning because of my interest in the New World Order. You get caught up in, did you know that the Constitution was blah, blah, blah? Did you know that we had three, you know, military, all this stuff? You get caught up in it yourself, myself, and not get to the Scriptures. All sin is committed in three ways. By suggestion, pleasure, and consent. The devil makes the suggestion. The flesh delights in it, and the spirit consents to it. Let me give an example on how they synthesize the same thing that demons do. Demons are frequency vibration. Demons are persons, right? Pride has a different frequency vibration than, say, anger, but they're... depends how they adjust the frequencies. We operate on frequencies, like radio signals. That's how it works. So I've told you all before, if my regular listeners, you've heard me talk about how they target an individual through DNA, they target a city, they target a march. With 11 hertz of ELF transmission for that grid square, for that area, for that individual, with 11 hertz of energy, from microwave transmitter, tacked on to his DNA frequency code or that microchip he's got into him, either one. I'm trying to be exact as I can to give an idea how to do it. 11 hertz causes riotous anger behavior, and they have no idea why. Now, Anthony Sutton confirms this, his testimony. Now, if I was to target the same individual and switch over to 6 or 6.6 hertz, which is about a 2 hertz below norm, 7.8, is normal. So you hit them with 2 or 1 below norm, it causes depression. Less depression, more anger. It's about energy, frequency, vibration. Now, you put a demon in there with that kind of vibration, you have the same effect. So each of these emotions is like trying to find a different radio station each time you turn a knob. That's how it works in physics, in your body, how demons operate. It's not about philosophy. It's about quantum physics. So what is their area of operation? There's hundreds of kinds of that. Emotions and attitudes are all kinds of demons which hide behind these. That's why you need the Holy Spirit and the full armor of God to fight them. That full armor of God covers you. Ephesians 6. Demons operate in gangs. You always have a strong man. Pride, rebellion, witchcraft, occult, fear, and that's why they give you fear on the internet. When you got fear, it opens up a portal. It's physics, you see. Now, gang demons include resentment, unforgiveness. Each one has a different frequency of vibration. Anger, hatred, violence, murder, disappointment, loneliness, misery. They try to find that weakness and come inside and exacerbate it, make it worse. Misery, depression, self-destruction, suicide. These are demonically influenced to take your mind off the Savior. You have the mind, the mental demons, unbelief, doubt, compromise, forgetfulness, confusion, torment, insanity. And what they've tried to do is hide this under psychiatry. Because you see, Sigmund Freud was an avatar. Gestalt. All these guys. So they try to hide the demonic activities, results of, and make psychological terms for them. So what do they do? Well, you have an acute depression, or you have an acute, I don't think it's cute at all, doctor. Yeah, well. So this kid, your child has ADHD. We have some drugs for them. So what they do is they diagnose it, which is ADHD is a farce. It's a myth. And then they say, well, we're going to give you some drugs. It just makes it worse. All the shooters in schools and other places, all the shooters and mass shootings have all had one or two antidepressant pills, Prozac or others. Zoloft. God, I can't remember. I remembered that one. And Prozac of the shooters, main shooters, that allows them to be possessed. Mental demons, unbelief, doubt, compromise, forgetfulness, confusion, torment, insanity. Of the tongue, lying, cursing, blasphemy, gossip. People love to gossip, man. Criticism, especially churchgoers and gossiping and criticism. In the sex department, you have fornication, adultery, masturbation, homosexuality, prostitution. Notice they're trying to get and have for a long time to get prostitution legalized, going back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and George Aschenberg. What was her name? Roberta Aschenberg or something like that. Back in the 1990s. They're trying to make it legal. Well, sexual fantasies. Lust is a strong one. Those work in branches of one another, like nicotine, alcohol, gluttony, drug, chemical addictions. Family, let me tell you something I discovered. You notice they're trying to turn down and put down cigarette smoking now on TV. Well, if they develop the cigarette smoking to give you cancer by design, by Reynolds family, with nicotine back, Marlboro Man, you know, Tipperello. Cigars, cigarettes, Tipperellos, whatever. All the way back to when the cigarettes came about. Then they used it to subjugate the women. And Edward Bernays said, now let's liberate them. Light up for freedom. See, that's how they do it. To divide the families. That's what it's all for. But also had physical effects. It was designed to cause cancer. Because of formaldehyde in the cigarette smoke. And the aluminum salts in the cigarettes. Well, here's the problem. They have discovered that in families that have cigarette smoking, the tar tobacco of smoking while they're using a computer has put tar and nicotine on the computer circuits, causing the computers to malfunction on the long term. They need the computer's operation of homes so they can promulgate this disclosure and other brainwashing material. They need them to have the computers. So they're trying to discourage cigarette smoking. Now, here's the catch to it. The substitute, they got to have a substitute, has been the e-cigarettes. So that way, you don't get the nicotine on the computer systems, and they can freebase nicotine and take their bodies down twice or three times as fast. Plus, they're going to make it through marijuana, so they can medicate. You see what they've done? Now they're freebasing nicotine and making it to where it won't blow into, contain it within his e-cigarettes, so it won't destroy your computers. A lot of people don't know this. They don't realize it. Oh boy, I tell you. There's some heavy stuff there. Heavy. Cigarettes blow out the tar to the computer after a period of time, causes glitches in your computer system. CIA started TV commercials for anti-smoking to reduce the inclination to smoke because of this reason. The replacement is the e-cigarettes to freebase nicotine and start cancer faster. So they turn it to more inside the body, plus set up the use of marijuana for more enhancement of medicating the population. That's what they're doing. And these rascals, I tell you what. So, weak in the branches, the work in the branches of one another is nicotine, alcohol, gluttony, drug, chemical addictions, and the occult. There's many ways in supernatural, but only one way to God. You got false religions, Freemasonry, Christian Science, Unity Churches, Islam, Mahaya, M-A-H-I-A, Jehovah Witness, Theosophy, Humanism. We've talked about this many times. And all of the oriental religions. You got shamanism, Zoroastrianism. Man, you got so many isms running around. And the heresies, Mormonism, Reincarnation, all religions of salvation through works. It's how they do it, too. The Mormon Church has excommunicated a woman that wanted to be a preacher or something. Well, that's been made a play. They did it on purpose. They're in the cahoots. Because now the federal government will come by and change it, or people will say, well, that's not fair, because they reverse it. It's called a dialectic. That's why the Mormons are playing this game. She's part of it. See, that's how they do it. The abortion and all, it would be later, but the same-sex marriage, Colorado is putting a stay on the same-sex marriage. Well, this is a play they're making. For example. So now when they stop it, the federal government will step in, and that's how they do this game. So Colorado and the federal government are working together to cause this play of state, or the state of play. You see how Satan works? In the physical body, you have epilepsy, stress, migraines, allergies. These are not possessions, but these are being demonized to take your mind off what's going. Arthritis, all these things can be caused, and a lot of cases are caused. how demons come in through the occult background, maybe in your family or someone you involved in or yourself. Personal occult involvement, prenatal influences, soul ties, early childhood pressures, sinful acts or habits, and well broken down. A person without willpower is like a city broken down without walls. But in deliverance, humble pride is the greatest barrier to deliverance. But be humble. Be honest. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Confess any known sin of yourself or ancestors. And this is about deliverance and cutting generational curses. Repent and break every occult contact or object. Forgive all of the people, not just the motion. It's a decision. And go to scriptures. I'm not going to read them now, but I give them to you. Joel 2, verse 32. Luke 10, 19. 1 John 3, verse 8. Colossians 1, verse 13. You expel them and cast them out. Joel 2:32, Luke 10:19, 1 John 3, verse 8, Colossians 1, verse 13. Then we're at the end of the we're at the end of the Bible study. And we covered about everything. I wanted to cover then, I guess, Tuesday, we'll cover then victory over Satan, which kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. This is really crazy stuff. This is crazy, isn't it? But it's actually true. And this is what drives everything going on today, is what I've been talking about tonight. It's about repentance. It's about being delivered. It's about prayer, spiritual warfare, and living in the name of Jesus Christ. And to expel those demons out with prayer. Telling them to leave. Sometimes out loud. To cast them out. The ones that's pulling you back. And fasting. To handle the strong demons. That's what Jesus said. Howbeit that this kind can only come out by fasting and praying. And they took that verse out of the Bibles, except for the King James, Matthew 17:21. They didn't want you all to know that. So they took it out of all the Bibles. So they promote the other Bibles, but the King James Bible has it. Howbeit, this kind can only come out by fasting and praying. When the disciples couldn't get at this demon, and Jesus came right on up and cast that demon out, they took him off the side, took Jesus off the side, the disciples did. They're a little embarrassed. They said, how'd you do that? How do you do that? Jesus said, 17:21, howbeit, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. It was a strong man demon. Family, y'all have a good night tonight. Sleep well. In the arms of Jesus. Be wary. Be careful. Have faith. But no fear. Wary to just be aware. It is spiritual warfare. It's going to get stronger too. Because the attacks are going to come back stronger. But God will outfit you. as long as you have faith in him. Y'all have a good night tonight. Have a great weekend. Barbecue tomorrow, right? You won't find me no ducking booth. A lot of work to do tomorrow. Get ready for next week. Lord, we come before you tonight in prayer. We end this Bible study tonight. Thank you, Lord, for having the opportunity. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe you are the Son of God and the only way to God, that you died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. We confess our sins to you, that you have made us conscious of us, that our sins are committed by our ancestors. We also renounce. We confess the specific sins, such as, Lord, I repent of all my sins I've ever committed. And we list them to you, Lord, and we hate them and we turn from them. We turn for you, Lord Jesus Christ, for our mercy and forgiveness. All we've been involved in the occult, if any, or anger, or any of these things we've mentioned, Father, we repent. We denounce it and sever ourselves from it with the blood of Jesus. We pray for Jacob, Lord, that he'll come through. We pray for that young girl, Lord, in California, Aaron, that, Father, she'll be found. We pray for our families, Lord. That they'll be healed. They'll come together. To give us that discernment and wisdom to preach the true word of God. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, look for that voice of truth, because that's where it's at. And you're not getting it in this media. They're trying to distract you. Stay tight with the glory of God and the word of God. You have a good night. We'll see you all next week. Be at it 4 o'clock on Monday. And hit the ground running. So good night. God bless. This is the Watchman Bible Study. This is the Watchman saying good night. And you go with that voice of truth. Stay with it. Through the King James Bible. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Good night.
Climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth. With just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times. will listen and believe. I will listen and believe.